Our sermon passage this evening comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. So I invite you to open your Bibles or to follow along the virtual bulletin. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. We will read from verse 22 through verse 26. Let us hear now the word of God from the Gospel of Mark. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then again, he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Thus far our reading this evening. Let's pray one more time. Oh, Father Almighty, what a glorious privilege it is to open your word, to read it. We pray now that you would grant us your spirit so that we might learn from your words, that we would be transformed by it, O Lord. Take it and apply it in our hearts so that we would live it unto your glory. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. There is, in a sense, all of us are blind. Well, we can see, but we all have had situations where we could not see properly. Well, if you're a man, you probably relate to this because this has happened to you, I think, because it has happened to me. But sometimes we need something, and we, for example, something from the kitchen, and we go there, we don't find it. Now, we ask our wives, or if you're single, you ask your mom or whoever is the woman in charge of the kitchen, and you ask her, "Where is this object that I need?" And she tells you it's in the first drawer. You go, you open the drawer, and you don't see it. It's not there. You then yell back at her, "Honey," or "Mom," or "It's not here." And then she says, "Yes, it is." You look again, and you can't see it. You don't find the thing that you need. You then go to this woman who is certain that the object is there, and you tell her, "It's not there. Where is it? I need it." And she gets up or stops whatever she's doing, and she goes there with you, and magically, it's there. Sometimes I think they get it from somewhere else and put there, just to make you look like you couldn't see properly. But you see, in this situation, the words of the prophets from the Old Testament applies to us, because we have eyes, yet we could not see what we were looking for. Now, this is a funny little practical situation that has happened to a lot of us. Now, imagine spiritual blindness. This is a situation when we have eyes and we can't see, that is much worse than not being able to find an object that you need. Now, this text deals exactly with this kind of blindness. Jesus is faced with a man who, yes, is physically blind. We don't want to make it sound like what happened here was just an illumination by a very smart guy who taught this other man some intellectual things, and this man now is can see metaphorically. That's not what happened. This man was blind, and Jesus supernaturally, miraculously healed him. But he did it in a peculiar way. He did it in two stages, and this is the only miracle that Jesus does it this way. But Jesus does it to teach his disciples and to teach us a very important lesson about spiritual blindness. Now, we are here on the 8th chapter of Mark, and just briefly, the context from chapter 7, we see that Jesus was in the Gentile area of the region, and he was working miracles there. He was in front of a Syrophoenician woman who had a daughter who was possessed by demons, and Jesus healed or expelled the demons from that woman's daughters. Jesus then is faced by Pharisees when he comes back to the Jewish region, and he crossed by boat. The Pharisees ask Jesus to give them a sign. They say, "Lord, give us a sign so we can see, so we can see that you are indeed the Messiah." And then Jesus says, "Well, I will not give you a sign. This generation will not see a sign." But the thing is, Jesus had already done many, many signs over there. This man had already seen many different signs and miracles from Jesus. And it's interesting that the Pharisees ask this immediately after Jesus feeds the 4,000. Now, this is the second time that Jesus does a miraculous multiplication of bread and fish and feeds a multitude of people. But the irony, or the group of people who have witnessed all these signs and were still looking for signs, or couldn't actually see what was going on, was not only the Pharisees, but the disciples as well. Immediately after, before our passage, the disciples are with Jesus in a boat crossing the sea, and Jesus is coming to the region of Bethsaida, where our text begins. And the disciples are worried because they only have one loaf of bread. Now think about it. They had just seen Jesus feed 4,000 people from a couple of loaves of bread. And they are on the boat, and they look around, they only see one loaf, and they start to worry about it. Jesus then tells them, "Do you still not see? Are you really worried right now about not having bread? You see, I already fed 5,000 men once. I just now performed a miracle and fed 4,000 men. And you're still worried for not having bread?" And then Jesus quotes from the prophets, from Hezekiah, from Jeremiah, and he says, verse 18, "Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember?" Jesus then comes to this passage, verse 22. So they finish the journey on boat, and they come to this city. And here, Jesus performs this miracle in a peculiar manner in two stages. And the reason why Jesus does this is to teach us the very important lesson about spiritual blindness. I began the sermon with an illustration of a daily situation. The matter that Jesus is addressing here is much more important. And I ask you, or better, the reason why this passage is important for us tonight is that many of us are coming and are witnessing many, many signs from God, but we still cannot see. And so we learn tonight that this passage teaches us that Jesus is a compassionate Savior who can open blind eyes to see Him. Jesus alone, the Savior, has the power, can open blind eyes to see Him. And so first we will see the comprehensiveness, or the all-encompassing blindness. It is a blindness that is all around. Look at verse 22. "And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him." Now, it's important to note this city, Bethsaida. This is not the first time that this city comes up in the Gospels. We just mentioned a miracle that happened just now, and this miracle happened in this city. So Jesus is returning to this city now. And this miracle was the feeding of the 5,000. So the first multiplication of bread happened exactly in Bethsaida. But more than that, in the Gospel of Luke, we read Jesus addressing this city, and Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida!" That's chapter 10, verse 13. "For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." You see, this city, according to Jesus' words, is worse than pagan cities. And Jesus said, if the signs, the things that happened that I have done here in Bethsaida had happened in another city, even though pagan cities, they would certainly have repented, and you have not. And so you see, this city is filled with unbelief. And it's filled with people who, although they had eyes, they did not see. But Jesus comes to this city. And now, Jesus already is known, and people know about him. So there's this group of men who have a blind friend, we're assuming, but there's this blind man. So other men take him to Jesus. And they bring this man to Jesus, and they come to the Lord, and they implore the Lord to touch him. Now you might say, well, not everybody was blind, spiritually blind in that city, because these people brought this man to Jesus. They brought him to the right place. But look at what Mark tells us. They came and they implored him to touch him. Now, some people had been healed by Jesus because Jesus touched them. Some people, a woman touches Jesus and Jesus feels power flowing from him and she is healed. So you see, it's not that if Jesus touched a person, the person cannot be healed. The problem is not that. The problem is that these people were trusting the touch, the action of touching, instead of trusting Jesus. And this is wrong because we also saw many occasions where Jesus didn't need to touch to heal. In fact, Jesus doesn't need to be near the person he wants to heal to perform a miracle. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is God the Son incarnate. He is the one through whom, by whom all things were made. He has performed many, many signs and miracles. And yet this group of people bring a blind man to the right place, but they're trusting the wrong thing. They're not trusting Jesus. They're trusting the touch of Jesus. So you see, Bethsaida, this group of people who bring the blind man, even the Pharisees from our context, and the disciples to a sense, all of these group, different groups of people, they were blind. Different levels of blindness, and yet they were blind. And brethren, this is a picture of the world. We live in a place that is not different from this. Everybody is blind. Apart from Christ, no one can see anything. Now they think they can. They act like they see, but they are blind and they don't even realize it. So the question is, are you aware of your blindness? Do you think you're good enough the way you are? Do you think you can see well enough? Or are you humbled by your blindness? Do you see that you can't actually see? I'm using see a lot, but this is part of the text. Because we don't see our inability to see. And this is a picture of the world. There's a story of a man. He was beside the hospital bed, and there was a woman laying there, and she was in critical condition. She was about to die. The doctors had given up on her. And this man is bound down beside the hospital bed, and he's crying because he loved that woman. And he's saying, "Why is this happening to me? I'm a good man. I pay my taxes. I'm a hard worker. I'm honest. I do charity. And he started listening. All the good things, quote unquote, that he used to do. And he wasn't understanding why this was happening to him. He was upset and he felt that this was not fair to him. But then, as the story continues, we learn that the woman he is crying for was not his wife. She was his mistress. She was married to another man, was also in the hospital. I don't know where he was. It's not important now. But you see, this man was crying on the hospital bed of a married woman, a woman who was married to another man, and he had the boldness of calling himself a good man. You see, he thought that because he loved this woman, but she was married, another way in which this life is unfair to him, he was a good man and he didn't deserve to suffer. This is just one example of how blind the world is. The words that Jesus said to Bethsaida, that if other cities had seen all these signs, apply to the entire world. Because you cannot look at creation and not see the signs of God. You cannot take a breath and leave and think that this is because you are a good person. All the time that you're doing that you look at creation, that you marvel at the wonderful things that God has done, and you don't see God, it's because you're blind. Now, people look at creation and they worship creation. They think this was just an accident. They think that, I don't know, whatever explanation they have for this, but they don't see it. They have eyes, but they don't see it. And so we see this is the comprehensiveness of the blindness. It is a blindness that encompassed Bethsaida, encompassed this group of men who brought the blind man here. It's ironic because there's only one actually blind man in this story amidst a lot of other blind men. It's almost as if the blind were leading the blind here to Jesus. Now, only one was physically blind, but more importantly, all of them were spiritually blind. But the story continues, and we see that the answer to this comprehensive blindness is the compassionate Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at what he did in verse 23. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" Now, this is a quick verse that has a lot of action. You see, it's a verb-packed verse. Jesus takes the man by the hand. He brings him out of the village. He spits on the man's eyes. He lays his hand on the man, and he asks the man. And all of these verbs, all of these actions are made by Jesus so Jesus can show his compassion, his grace, his love towards this man. How is that? Well, first, you see, the man, the friends, they bring this man and they ask Jesus, "Touch him." Verse 23, Jesus touches the man. He takes the man by the hand. But you see, the first touch of Jesus doesn't heal. Jesus is not just doing what the friends told and being mystical or healing by the touch. He touches the man for another purpose. The purpose is obvious in a sense and not obvious in another. Obvious because if he's going to take a blind man out of the village, he needs to guide the blind man. A blind man cannot walk on his own. But it's not so obvious because this man had friends. So he had guides already. Jesus didn't need to do that. He could have said, "Follow me." And they would have been able to follow him. But no, he touches the man and leads him by the hand. Why? To show him his compassion. This is the compassionate Savior who leads the blind man. He had other guides, but now the Lord Jesus would guide him. And then he spits on the man's eye. Now you probably are thinking, well, where is compassion in a spit? We don't actually know why Jesus used spittle here. It's the second time Jesus does that. Chapter 7, we see the first time when Jesus heals the deaf and mute man. He touches with saliva the tongue of the mute man. But there is a probable explanation for both cases, and it is very probable because it fits the context and it fits the compassion that Jesus had towards his people. You see, this man here was blind. So Jesus led him out of the city, and he was not seeing anything. He didn't know Jesus' facial expression. He didn't know if Jesus was going to heal him or not. He was lost. So Jesus uses a language that this man would understand. And plus, spit at that time was considered a healing substance. Now, we know that that was superstition, and we don't say that Jesus was advocating to a superstition belief, but Jesus is using a custom, a habit, or a knowledge that this man had from his youth, something that this man was familiar with, through a language that this man could understand, even though he could not see. So he's using the other senses of the man to communicate his compassion to him. He can't see, so his other senses is where he gets his information, his communication, and everything. So more than just saying, Jesus is acting and touching him, and by his saliva, showing him that he's going to heal him. When this man felt the saliva, he understood that Jesus was going to heal him because there was this belief concerning the saliva. And so you see, Jesus led him. Jesus showed his compassion by guiding him, showed his compassion by using his saliva to heal this man. And then he laid his hands on the man as a sign of healing. And then he asked the man, "Do you see anything?" And brothers, this is our Savior. You see, our Savior deals with us in a very compassionate way. He knows exactly what we need. He addresses exactly our need in a way that we can understand. This is a picture of our Savior. He is compassionate. He takes blind people and he communicates to blind people in a way that blind people can understand him. And you see, his spit went into the man's eye. He addressed exactly the place that needed healing. This is your Savior. Now, where do you go when you need something? Are you proud or afraid of your Savior and you don't come to him? Reading all of this, what reason do you have not to run to Christ with every single need that you have? Every single worry, anxiety, problem. Because you see, Christ is compassionate. And this theme of compassion is throughout Mark. The next time you read the Gospel of Mark, I want you to pay attention to all these signs of Jesus' compassion. He heals, he solves the people's physical needs, but he always does it in a very tender, loving, compassionate way. Because our Savior is a compassionate Savior. And he is the only one who can open blind eyes. But the text continues and we see Jesus' compassion, not only in the way he dealt with the man, but in performing this miracle in two stages. Now again, you might ask, how is performing a miracle in two stages compassion? Because Jesus is using this to teach the disciples and everybody else, all of us, an important lesson. But also, when we look at verse 24, we see that the man looked up and he said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." For a man who could not see anything to be able to recognize men and distinguish them from trees or see the similarities between a man and a tree from a blurry vision is already a great reason for rejoicing. So we already see that the blindness is gone. This man can see. We also learn that this man was not born blind. He became blind for some reason, because he knew what men looked like and what trees looked like. Now he cannot see properly. He cannot see clearly, but he can see. And he couldn't. So Jesus already performed a miracle here. Jesus already healed the man. But he chose to do it in a two-step, in two stages. Verse 25, we see the second step. He laid his hands on his eyes again. You see that Jesus doesn't use speech again now, because the man can see what Jesus is doing. So he lays his hands on the man's eyes, and he looked intently and was restored. Now this man could see everything. This is a picture of God's people, of the disciples. How come? The disciples were not as blind as the people in Bethsaida, but their vision was still a little blurry. You see, they were living with Jesus. They had witnessed all these great things. They knew who Jesus was, but they still couldn't see properly. They still couldn't see clearly the Lord Jesus. So Jesus takes this man. He could have healed him immediately, but he chooses to do it in two stages. And he's showing the disciples, see, I have already opened your eyes, but you still see a little blurry. You see dimly. But I can make you see clearly. So what we learn from this is that the grace of faith, the spiritual benefits we have in Christ, they are not equal for everybody. In other words, there are different levels of blindness amidst God's people. Some can see better, others not so well. Now, I'm not saying that there are different levels of salvation, of justification. This is not what happened. See, verse 24, the man already saw. He was healed. And similarly, when you hear the word and the Spirit applies that word in your heart and works faith in you, and you repent from your sins and you turn to Christ, you are saved. Your blindness is gone. Your eyes are open. Jesus compassionately, through his sacrifice, through his death on the cross, opened your blind eyes. You can see. But then we see blurry. But the good thing is, just as Jesus made the vision of this man clear, the Lord has provided means for us so that our sight can be clear. And these are the means of grace. So God works in us by his Spirit as we take advantage, as we use these means to improve our sight. But more importantly, seeing that Jesus made the vision of the sight of this man perfectly clear in verse 25, we have our hope for eternity, when we will certainly see as clear as it is possible to see. And so you see, all our life, we are in this process. We were blind. Jesus opened our eyes graciously, compassionately. And now he is working in us to improve our sight. And one day, as we grow in grace, and when the Lord Jesus comes back, we will see him as clear as he wants us to see. Now, why is this important? Well, first, we need to understand that Jesus alone can open blind eyes. And so if you're here, if you're at home, wherever you're listening to this, if you still don't realize that you are blind, if you still don't see that you need Jesus to open your blind eyes, I ask you to come. I urge you to come to him. He is the only one who can open your blind eyes. He is the only one who can heal your blind eyes. It's not yourself, your good works. It's not a miraculous touch of another person. It's not false promises of prosperity gospel, social gospel, or whatever other gospel you might be looking for. Perhaps you're like this blind man's friends who came to the right place for the wrong reasons. And you come to church every Sunday, but you still don't trust Jesus. Or better yet, you don't come looking for Jesus, you come looking for Jesus' miracles. And there's a problem in that. Don't seek his miracles, seek him, and he will save you. Don't seek Christ's benefits, seek Christ, and you have his benefits. Don't seek just the healing, seek the one who can heal you. Love him. And so again, are you aware of your blindness? And are you aware that the only one who can heal your blindness is Jesus Christ? Come to him. If you have already, come to him. You see and your eyes are open, praise him. Even if your vision, if your sight is blurry, if you still cannot see clearly, praise him because your blindness is healed. You are saved. He has compassionately dealt with you. He has given himself up on the cross for you. His blood already washed you. You are God's son in him, in Jesus Christ. So praise him, rejoice, love him. But don't settle for a blurry vision. You see, Jesus gave this man a perfect vision, and he gave us a way to improve our sight. So make use of these ways. The word, prayer, the sacraments, make use. You have the Bible, read the Bible, pray. Come to church, not right now because of our situation, but when things normalize. Make use of the technology to get more information, to learn more, to grow in your grace. Don't settle for having a blurry vision, a blurry sight. Understand the compassion of Jesus in giving you sight already. Know that this is only by God's grace. He's the only one who can do that. You cannot open your eyes on your own. But as you understand that, grow in your love for him. Strive to serve him. Strive to witness for him. Do not bring shame to his name. Honor him in all that you do. Make use of the means he provided so that your sight might improve. Know that your sight is, you can see already, and that's a good thing. Praise him, but don't settle. Don't be accommodated with that. On the other hand, if you're a mature Christian and you can see better than the average recent convert can, this is important for you as well. First, you must know this already, but continue to love Christ. Continue to make use of the means he provided so that you can grow more and more because you can never see well enough in this life. But long for the day when Jesus will come and you will see perfectly. But also, how do you deal with those who are seeing blurry in the church? Imagine the situation when you get up at night and on your way to the bathroom, you stumble and you hit your toe or your shoulder, whatever. It hurts. Does that mean that you're blind when that happens? No, you can't see. You just couldn't see properly or well enough to not hit an obstacle in the way. Perhaps not a wall, but some toys your kids left. Whatever it is that you didn't see that made you hurt. Now, a lot of times, new Christians, immature Christians, they don't see properly, so they will stumble on you. They will step on your toe. It's not because they want to, or if it is, it's because they don't know better. But you see, they can see. They just cannot see as well as you can. How do you react to that? Do you push them away? Or seeing that they're coming to your direction, do you just move so they can bump the wall? Or do you take the hit and point them to the right direction? Do you show them that Jesus is the one that can give them a clearer and clearer sight? How do you behave yourself in the middle of people who have blurry eyes? Look at what Jesus did. Jesus was living with his disciples. If there were ever a group of people who should have had perfect sight, it was the disciples. And yet, they still could not understand. They had a blurry vision of Jesus. Jesus did not push them away, send him away. Jesus taught them. Even when performing a miracle, he used the opportunity to teach them, to show them the reality of what was happening there. And you see, it worked, because as we read chapter 8, we will see that the next section is Peter's confession. And there we see that Peter understood who Jesus was. But before this miracle, Peter could not see as well as he would be able to later on. And that doesn't mean that if we get a clear sight, we're going to be perfect and not seeing. That's not the point. But the point is, praise the Lord for giving, for opening your eyes, and strive to gain a clearer sight. How? Using the means he provided. It's not superstitiously, it's not through your own effort. It's by trusting in the Savior alone, using the means that he gave us. So what we saw this evening is that there is a blindness all around the world, and it's a reality that we live in. The only solution for this blindness is Jesus Christ himself, who can open blind eyes to see him. Now, the opening illustration that I used, it might happen again and again, and when we look for something and we can't find. But now imagine that when you open that drawer that your wife told you the object you needed was there, you find a messy drawer. You find a drawer full of random things. It's a kitchen drawer, but it has paper, office supplies, toys. It's the drawer that you should never have opened in the first place. It makes it much more difficult to see what you want. It's the same thing in our spiritual sight. Jesus opened our eyes so we could see him. Don't get distracted with other things. We live in the pandemic time, and I see a direct relationship with the amount of time a person spends reading and watching the news and worrying about the COVID-19 to the level of anxiety that person has. It's like the more the person wants to get informed about this virus, the more worried the person gets. Now, this might be a logical connection, yes, but the point is, and I'm not trying to dim down the pandemic or say it's not a real problem, that's not me. What I'm saying is, don't look at the problem. Don't use the eyes that Jesus opened. Don't waste it on random things. Look at Jesus. And when you look at Jesus, he will give you a clearer and clearer sight, more and more. Let's pray. Father, I bless your name for the great privilege we have of having such a compassionate Savior. Oh God, thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, and that he knows exactly what our need is, and he addresses it in a compassionate, lovingly way. We praise you for your mercy, for your grace. We praise you for opening our eyes. We know that the only way our eyes could be opened is through Christ. And we pray that you would help us to apply this word so that we could use this sight to look at him and love him and serve him. In his name we pray. Amen.